US election is now beginning to heat up with Republican contender Donald Trump entering the debate about NATO and defence funding. Well, Tom Bailey joins us now from Han ETF to take a look at the opportunities and investment. Tom, it's an interesting space. You have to look beyond Donald Trump and look at the way in which Western governments have been investing in their defence to support NATO. And there's a lot of debate about this as well. Then, of course, you've got the geopolitics about what's happening a couple of years ago with Ukraine. We've got the Middle Eastern issue surfacing. We've got concerns about the future of Taiwan, China. So it's clearly an interesting area to discuss. I'm asking the question, where do we start? Because there's quite a lot here to begin picking apart. What do you consider to be the most newsworthy items at the moment to follow to get us into this interview?
Yeah, well, it's hard to choose which is the most newsworthy, but maybe I think the most significant in terms of, you know, the defense landscape, I think, really is Trump's comments the other week at his rally in South Carolina, where he essentially said that he'd previously told NATO NATO members that if they weren't spending the 2% GDP commitment on defense, then he would let Russia have their way with them. I think obviously what this raises is obviously the need for Europe to rearm, which is obviously what Trump is encouraging with his comments in his own peculiar way. But it does underline what actually is a trend in Europe over the last almost decade now. So, you know, the European Union and EU NATO members have been large members of them have been underspending on defense compared to this 2% of GDP commitment. It started to change in 2014. Following Russia's first invasion of Ukraine, when it annexed Crimea and then sponsored separatists in Donetsk and Lugansk. But then also with the full-scale invasion in 2022, Europe really started to take its defence commitments much more seriously. We've seen numerous European NATO members come out and affirm their commitment to reaching this 2% goal, or in cases like Poland, exceeding it. So what this means is, you know, it's a growing area of demand for the defense industry, particularly in Europe. Those European names such as Leonardo in Italy, or BAE Systems in the UK, or Rheinmetall in Germany, and all this kind of just points to the growing need and ongoing implementation of Europe's rearmament after the kind of post-Cold War lull in military spending on the continent.
Yeah, 2% of GDP is the NATO base requirement. What do you see? Where do you see spending going? I mean, there's clearly we're looking at potentially fighting on a number of different fronts. 2% to me doesn't sound like enough when you hear that Russia is putting over an enormous amount of its GDP into funding war materials. What about the future for funding and how it's expected to move?
Yeah, I mean, so you saw at the Vilnius summit last year, the idea floated around more that basically the 2% commitment isn't a ceiling, it's a floor, that it should be the bare minimum. A country should even be considering exceeding that. Obviously, not all countries will have the capacity to reach that straight away. Obviously, we're seeing those countries which feel much more vulnerable to geopolitical threats, such as Poland, already exceeding it. But in terms of European defence budgets, the projection is that they should grow at least 10% a year for the next 5 years going forward. So there is real commitment to increase spending, and that 2% level for many members should be exceeded. Obviously, also, you know, another consider the point is also that how much of that defence increased spending is just being spent on, say, new personnel, and how much is being spent on new equipment and modernization of militaries. And there's also a commitment among these European NATO members that it's also going towards, you know, modernizing their militaries and purchasing more high-tech equipment, given what we've seen in the battlefields of Ukraine. And at the same time, the need for Europe to also increase its basic industrial production, whether it's kind of the more low-grade stuff, but military shells and stuff, because that's what we've seen a real shortage of, which is it's a shortage of these shells, given the intensity of the fighting we've seen in Ukraine, which many thought was a kind of a relic of a previous era or something that happened on other continents. But as we've seen, European leaders have been shocked into the need to get serious about this.
It's interesting, isn't it, looking at new technologies, because this is an interesting area of defence where we're talking now not just about how to arm war machines, armies. It's also talking about cybersecurity and how we can all protect ourselves and nation states. against interference by outside unwanted forces. So we're talking here not just ordinary, simple, straightforward, uncomplicated military armament, but we're talking about a far wider broadening of the opportunity. And I guess this is where we bring in this idea about talking about an ETF, because an ETF enables us to garner a lot of exposure across a wide market in order to give us the opportunity to invest in. At HAN ETF, what are you suggesting is the opportunity?
Yeah, so we launched last year the Future Defense UCITS ETF. It's ticker NATO. And so this ETF is a combination of the industrial defense firms, the ones I mentioned earlier, such as Leonardo, BAE Systems, Rheinmetall, and some other names, Thales, and also some of the US companies. But as well, it also has a big component of cyber defense, because as you mentioned, there's different domains to this whole geopolitical competition ongoing right now. And increasingly, as we've seen in Ukraine, brought to the forefront is the increased use of electronic and cyber warfare. So a small example would be recently, aircraft flying in the Baltic region were subjected to jamming and interference of GPS signals, putting both military and commercial aircraft at risk. Many analysts blame Russia for this. And so this kind of brings to the forefront this need for better cyber and electronic defense systems for Europe and NATO as a wider sense. And so this is obviously part of the cybersecurity exposure in the ETF. That's the kind of example of why we think it's in there and should be in there. And a lot of this, it will be from a cybersecurity standpoint. It's a focus on a public-private cooperation as well. So this is the sort of companies we've tried to include in the portfolio, those that are going to be involved in this element of defense.
Yeah. Okay. Look, Tom, we'll leave it there. But thanks indeed for joining us with this look at NATO, the Future of Defense UCITS ETF, which you can find on the investment platform here at IG. That's Tom Bailey from HAN ETF. Thank you.